This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
All right, I'm here with Claire Hurtig from Tataman here in Montreal. Now, Claire, can you tell me about the movement, the boycott, divestment, sanction movement against the state of Israel, and how Tataman is involved in this coalition?
So the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement was launched in 2005. Over 170 Palestinian organizations, so that's women's groups, unions, refugee organizations, cultural groups, came together to sign a call, an international call to the international community, saying that people around the world should boycott Israeli products, divest from Israeli companies, and sanction, call for sanctions on the state with their governments until Israel respects three demands of the boycott movement. So the first demand is equality for all the Palestinians who live in Israel. So that is 20% of the population are Palestinians. The second one is allow the return of all refugees who had to flee in and after 1948 when Israel was created. So at the time, that was about 600,000 or 700,000 Palestinians, and now the Palestinian refugee population is the oldest and the largest around the world, with about 6 million refugees. So allow them their right to return to their lands and properties, and then thirdly, to dismantle the wall and the colonies in the West Bank and Gaza.
Right. Now, it's been going on since 2005. How has this movement, has it grown? How has it coalesced in the last 7 years?
Well, I think the movement has been growing ever since it was launched. And part of that, the reason for that, I believe, is that it's actually a positive movement. While it is advocating for Palestinian rights in the face of apartheid and occupation, war crimes and violence, it's also a movement that really allows regular people to take action, whether it's choosing not to purchase a product made in Israel or within their union or community organization, to say, you know what, we are not going to let this continue as business as usual. We're going to take a stand as regular people around the world. And so I think there's a lot of optimism in the movement, and that's one reason why people are joining it, and I believe it's going to win. It initially started on campuses, which is often where social movements begin, and has broadened out into the union movement, and especially queer communities have taken a strong stand against Israeli apartheid and for the boycott of Israel. And so it's really growing, and I believe we'll continue to do so in the coming years.
Right now, Israel has been likened to South Africa and its apartheid structure that was there. Now, how does Israel, how do they consider this term apartheid, and how are they, how is this movement really talking about this issue?
Well, it's clear, obviously, that many Israelis and people who identify as Zionists, so people who support the idea of a Jewish state and strongly support the state of Israel, are opposed to this apartheid analogy. To be describing Israel as an apartheid state to them is offensive, it's upsetting, and they also label it as anti-Semitic. The thing is, with the apartheid analogy, this is not about individuals, and it's not about religion. This is about a state which is committing crimes and not respecting human rights of a specific population. And if you look at the United Nations International Convention on the Suppression and Punishment of the Crime of Apartheid from 1973, we see that the domination by one group over another, systematically, whether it be through laws, policies, in various ways, is the crime of apartheid. And there are many examples to show that Israel is committing the crime of apartheid while it's also illegally occupying Palestinian territory. So it actually is a factual argument, but of course many people have an emotional attachment to the idea of the Jewish state, and victimhood is an extremely important part of the Israeli identity and the Zionist identity. So there's a very big backlash often when people use the apartheid analogy. And it's also important to remember that while apartheid was a state policy in South Africa from the 40s, 50s, 60s until the 90s, it's also defined as a generic crime by the UN. So it's not just something that happened in South Africa. It's actually a crime against humanity listed by the UN and also the International Criminal Court in the Rome Statute. And finally, nobody's saying that Israeli apartheid and South African apartheid are exactly the same thing. These are two very different places, two different populations. In South Africa, it was a European white colonial majority or minority oppressing a black indigenous majority, and in Israel-Palestine, you have the indigenous Palestinian people with the colonial Israeli, European Israelis I mean, there's other Israelis too, but it's a different situation. We don't have petty apartheid as much in Israel, where you have, you know, this bathroom or this water fountain is only for Israelis, but you do have in policies and in laws, institutionalized discrimination for the benefit of Israelis over the disadvantage of Palestinians.
Right, and you also have a wall that's being constructed for over the last decade, which has been condemned by the International Court of Justice. Now, how does the BDS movement raise awareness about this this actual wall that's being built to separate Palestinian people from Israelis?
Well, the wall is incorporated into one of the demands of the call for boycott. So one of the demands is that the wall should be dismantled and the settlement should be dismantled and the occupation should end. And there have been many groups who are engaging in activism against the wall. There's many very active and vibrant committees in villages in the West Bank that have been demonstrating, have been filing legal challenges to the wall. Some of them have had victories, like the village of Budrus and the village of Bilin in the West Bank. And these movements, while they're fighting against the wall, they're also incorporating, in many cases, a call for boycott within their demonstrations and within their orientations. So these are all different parts of the problem: occupation, the building of the wall, and apartheid. But different organizations fighting one thing, for example, the wall, they're often incorporating a boycott appeal into their work as well.
Now, have there been specific cases? I mean, from what I've read, there's groups, there's institutions that are boycotting certain products that are produced in the occupied territories. Now, do you have any specific cases of this being successful?
Off the top of my head, I'm not totally sure. I can say that, for at least in the view of activists within Tadaman, and I think in a lot of anti-apartheid organizations, the commercial boycott of products from Israel and Israeli companies is more about education and using it as a way to start a conversation with somebody who you're next to at the supermarket, for example, about where did that product come from and why should you put it back on the shelf. That allows you to start a conversation about, well, did you know, these war crimes are being committed? Did you know that this was maybe created in a settlement or things like that, in a legal settlement? So we really view it more as an opportunity for education and public awareness than thinking that we're going to shut down companies. It's true that companies are getting a little upset. There are some economic articles in like economics publications or financial publications that talk about the slight impact of the boycott. And you also have governments like Canada, which have had a free trade agreement with Israel since 1996 or 7, I believe, and which have now recently expanded this free trade agreement. So you have governments like ours, which are extremely friendly towards apartheid Israel, doing their best to facilitate economic success of this country and giving advantages to Israeli companies to come and do business here and things like that. So there is definitely something happening. I would say the most public successes have probably been more with the cultural boycott and the academic boycott of Israel, where you have high-profile performers and artists saying that they're not going to perform in Israel. It doesn't always work. Some still go, such as Madonna, who wrapped herself in the Israeli flag and hugged Benjamin Netanyahu. But you also have important people. You have Elvis Costello. Just today I read that Cassandra Wilson, American jazz singer, has canceled her concert. In the indie rock world, you have Cat Power, Toon Yards, a Montreal group. So it is another way that it's really growing in that community.
And how is your group really getting out there in the community and raising awareness about these companies that are doing business? Because you say that, here in Canada we're trying to expand trade with Israel, or in the process of expanding trade. How do you go about telling people like who these companies are and what they're doing?
Well, one of the things, less on the ground but more in as a publication sense, is we've written a report and appeal recently about how Canada should cut its ties with Israel in terms of not expanding, or a critique of expanding the free trade agreement with Israel, which is CIFTA, Canada-Israel Free Trade Agreement, is the acronym. And so we think that we should play a role both on an analytical level when we're talking about reviewing these things that our government is doing and letting people know about them. We're currently in the process of getting other organizations to sign their support for this publication that we've made. It's available on our website, tadaman.ca. And we've also been involved in campaigns on the ground. So whether it's the boycott of Ahava Dead Sea products at the Bay, we've been involved in demonstrations, and the boycott of Chapters Indigo, raising awareness about wines which are made in the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights, which is actually Syrian territory, which are being sold at many branches of the SAQ. Yeah, we're basically, what we see our role is right now is doing research and trying to find out more about these products and then being involved down the line in more on the street actions. But it's really important, especially at the beginning of the movement, to get as much information as you can. So we're trying to do our best to sort of become a resource for people.
Right now, Israel Apartheid Week, which is an annual event held in Montreal, held on university campuses in Canada. What are we expecting or what's to expect with this year's event? Is it a lot of awareness raising around BDS and more campaigning?
Well, there's definitely some important events. For example, there's one event that's going to be a Francophone event, which is pretty exciting to expand Israeli Apartheid Week on Francophone campuses. At UCAM, there will be Frank Barra speaking. He's going to be speaking on the Russell Tribunal for Palestine, which is an international people's tribunal, which this year met in South Africa and addressed the question of, is Israel an apartheid state? And they came out with a response that, yes, it is an apartheid state after many testimonials from many different important figures. And so Frank Barra, who's part of the Russell Tribunal on Palestine, will be in Montreal talking about that. There's also going to be an event relating the struggle for justice and self-determination in Palestine with the struggle taking place in Syria right now. And so Bassam Haddad, who is a scholar from the States, George Mason University, he'll be speaking on what are the sort of details and specifics of the Syrian revolution and where it is right now, since it's kind of at a point where we're not really sure what's going to happen. And how do we relate that? How do we look at that in a left perspective? And how do we see that in relationship to larger struggles for self-determination and human rights in the Middle East? There'll also be several workshops, Apartheid 101. There'll be one on pinkwashing Israeli apartheid. So that's where Israel uses queer identities to shield its support for, uses its support for gay rights officially to shield its war crimes against Palestinians. So there's many, many events, and I encourage people to just look on the website. I think it's montrealapartheidweek.org, or you can go to apartheidweek.org and click on Montreal.
Now, the Artists Against Apartheid annual event that you organize, who do you have performing this year, and what's it going to be like?
This year we have Rebel Diaz as a headlining act, as well as Vox Sambu, who is a member of the hip-hop group, the Montreal hip-hop group Nomadic Massive, so he'll be performing solo. And so that should be an amazing show. It's always a great opportunity to have a good time and experience some beautiful art and culture, but also to see artists who are actually aware of the issues and who are taking a political stand, and that's extremely important, as we've seen with the cultural boycott. And so basically, it's always an amazing show and it's always packed. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you so much for your time.
No problem.